In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, your fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. The second commandment. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we do not use his name to curse, swear, lie, deceive, or use witchcraft, but call upon God's name in every trouble, praise, pray, and give thanks. You may or may not have memorized those words. If you attended a Lutheran confirmation class, you probably did, because oftentimes in Lutheran confirmation classes, there is memory work, and memorizing the commandments, including the second commandment, is quite customary. But have you ever thought why God gave us the second commandment? Have you ever thought why God spends an entire commandment on how we are to use his name? For at first, that might seem a little arrogant of God. It might seem like he's going through an identity crisis or needing his ego stroked. It might seem like he's very self-absorbent since he's telling you how you have to refer to him. It maybe can kind of be like the British royal family. If you know anything about the British royal family, there are certain ways you are to address those in the monarchy. It's why people think it's very important of whether or not Harry and Meghan will keep their titles, or who is Duke of this and Duchess of that. And while I admittedly know nothing about British culture, it always seemed a bit presumptuous to me that the royals get to decide how the people are going to refer to them. And as we study this second commandment, it's maybe easy for us to have the same thoughts about our God. It's maybe easy for us to think that God's being a little presumptuous since he spends this entire commandment talking about his holy name and how we are to refer to him. So is God being arrogant? Well, to answer that question, it's helpful to think about what a name actually is. A name is so much more than just the syllables and sounds that come out of your mouth. But a name is a marker, or it's an identifier. A name brings up images and thoughts into your minds so that we know who we are talking about. As an example, if I say the name Patrick Mahomes, what comes into your minds? Maybe something like football or Chiefs or quarterback or curly hair and froggy voice. While we might have different thoughts and images depending on our love of football and our love of the Chiefs, we all are thinking about the same person when we hear the words Patrick Mahomes. His name identifies him. And so it is with our God. His name identifies him. For when we are talking about the name of our God, we are talking about so much more than the sounds and syllables that are coming out of our mouth when we put the letters G-O-D together. Instead, when we are talking about the name of our God, we're talking about what identifies him. And what identifies him is everything that he reveals about himself. That is God's holy name. Everything that he reveals about himself. It's why he has hundreds, if not 1,000, different names for everything he reveals about himself, from all his characteristics, to what he has done for you, to why he came down to this earth. All of that is revealed by his holy names. And so do you see why God spends this entire commandment talking about using his holy name? It's not because he is arrogant or going through an identity crisis or a little self-absorbent. But it's because he loves you. And he wants you to know what he has revealed about himself. He wants you to know who he is and what he has done for you. That's why he wants you to use his holy name properly. For when you misuse God's name, you're actually changing the narrative about our God and spreading false information about him. For think about what happens if you use God's name to curse. If you're using God's name to curse, you're using God's name to wish harm upon someone, and you're proclaiming to yourself and others that God is a God who likes to harm. Or think about what happens if you use God's name to lie. If you use God's name to lie, you're calling God a liar, and then you cannot be certain that he speaks the truth. Do you see how whenever you misuse God's holy name, you're actually changing the narrative about God and spreading some false information about him? It's why the second commandment is here. And I think we maybe get that when we talk about actively misusing God's holy name. I think we get that when we are using God's name to curse, swear, lie, deceive, or use witchcraft, as Luther wrote in his explanation to the second commandment. But what we can miss is that we're doing the exact same thing, changing the narrative and spreading false information about God's name, not just when we misuse it, but also when we fail to use it properly. You see, we just don't sin by actively using his name in a wrong way, but we also sin by failing to use his name properly, and that's brought out in this familiar story of the 10 lepers. For at the beginning of this story, all 10 of the lepers used God's name in a proper way. As they were outside of the city in this leper colony, ostracized from their friends and family because of their disease, they see Jesus and they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And what a wonderful way to use the name of God. For God has revealed himself as a merciful and a loving God. And so by crying out, "Jesus," which means Savior, by crying out, "Master," which means the one who is in control and has the power to do anything, and by crying out, "Have mercy on us," they were confessing who God is and what he could do. They were confessing that God has both the power and love to heal him. And when they used God's name properly at the beginning of this story, they were blessed. For after crying out for mercy, Jesus says, "Go show yourselves to the priest," and we read, "As they went, they were cleansed." God did what his name said he would do. He showed all 10 of these lepers mercy and love by driving that disease away from them. But this is where the story takes a little turn. For after using God's name properly to cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," 9 of the lepers decided that they weren't going to use God's name anymore. 9 of the lepers deemed that they had something more important to do than use God's name to praise and thank him. And only 1 of the lepers returned, and he being a Samaritan, to praise and thank his God. And why is that such a big deal that 9 didn't sing songs of praises or thank their God for this blessing? Well, remember once again why God gives us this second commandment. Remember why he spends an entire commandment talking about his holy name. It's not because he is arrogant or going through an identity crisis or self-absorbent. But he gives us this commandment because he loves you. He wants you to use his name properly so that he can reveal to you who he is and what he has done. You're the one who ends up blessed every time you use God's name to call upon it in trouble, pray, praise, or give thanks. And as an example of that, let's go back to this story. Think about those 9 lepers who didn't return to say thank you. Think about those 9 lepers who deemed that they had something more important to do than praise or thank their God. By not having God's holy name on their lips, they were not reminding themselves and others who God was, their Savior. They were not reminding themselves and others what God had done, miraculously healed them from their disease. And most of all, they were not reminding themselves and others what God ultimately would do for them and why he came into the world to heal them from a greater disease of sin and take them into heaven. By failing to properly use God's name, by not praising or thanking their God, they were not reminding themselves who God was and what God could do. Contrast that with the one leper who did return to give praise and thanks to God. As he praised and thanked his God, he was confessing who God is and what God had done for him. But more importantly, he was confessing what God would do for him in the future, forgive all his sins and take him home to heaven. For as Jesus said to him, your faith has healed you. Do you see how you're the one who loses out on blessings when you fail to praise and thank your God? Do you see how you're the one who's actually blessed when you do praise and thank your God, as we're doing throughout this service? It's like standing at the bottom of a waterfall with a bucket, and you can take that bucket and pick up water and try to throw it to the top of the waterfall. And even if you do, if you get the water to the top of the waterfall, what's going to happen? The water's going to come right back down. And so it is with our praises and thanks to God. Yes, we are sending our praises and thanks upward to God for all the great blessings that he has given to us. But as we send them upward, it's like that waterfall. It just immediately comes right back down to us to bless us. Do you see how we are ultimately the ones who are blessed every time we use God's name properly, every time we use God's name to call upon it in trouble, pray, praise, or give thanks? And in the end, that's why this familiar story of the 10 lepers is actually in the scriptures. It's not just to be a law story, though it can be a law story. For God has blessed you abundantly, just like he blessed all 10 of these lepers. He has given you so many physical and spiritual blessings. And you know that all too often you act like the other 9 lepers and take these for granted. You fail to do what the one leper has done and praise and thank your God. We could easily use this story as a law story, and it is good and right for us to do that. But it's not the only way that we can use this story. We can also use this story as a gospel story to pack you full of comfort. For we can use this story to show that whenever we praise and thank our God for all of these blessings, we are the one who gets blessed even more, since we are being reminded that God is our Savior who loves us and has the power to give us everything we need, including forgiveness, life, and salvation. It happens every single time you properly use God's holy name. And so, my dear Christian friends, continue to have those words of praise and thanks on your lips. Praise and thank your God for all the blessings he so richly and daily provides for you. Blessings like food and clothing and house and home and friends and family. And praise and thank your God for all the spiritual blessings he gives you day after day. Blessings like forgiveness, life, and salvation. The certainty that you will spend eternity with him in heaven. Yes, praise and thank your God every single day of your life for how richly and daily he provides for both your physical and spiritual lives. For I promise you that when you praise and thank your God, when God's holy name is on your lips, when you are properly obeying this second commandment, I promise you that you are the one who will end up blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we continue to confess that one true faith, confess God's holy name by using the words of the Apostles' Creed.